بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His help and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah, the Most High, from the evils of our own selves and from our own bad deeds. Whoever has been guided by Allah, none can misguide him. And whoever Allah misguides, none can guide him. And I bear witness that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah alone, without a partner or associate. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's slave and messenger. May Allah the Exalted bestow His peace and blessings on the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the believers of his family, and upon all of his noble companions. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, and this is based on the explanation of our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. In verse 33, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the names which He subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam, and in reference to that, Allah said in verse 33, O Adam, inform them of their names. قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. When He had informed them of their names, He said, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. Did I not tell you that I know the unseen in the heavens and the earth, and I know what you reveal and what you have been concealing? The one who is saying now is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, telling Adam. And Adam is the father of mankind. And the Adam is his name, and it is not his description. This is what's apparent, and it is really derived from it is derived from al-udma. Adam, the linguistically, is derived from al-udma, and it is a color between pure whiteness and black color. It's a color between which is purely white and that which is dark or black. Telling him, O Adam, and bi'hum, tell them, meaning tell the angels. Tell the angels of their names. And when he had informed them of their names, فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ, Allah said, did I not tell you what I know? أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ, did I not tell you? This exclamation is for confirmation and affirmation, meaning I told you. This is like the saying of Allah. This is like the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Sharh 94 verse 1, Alam nashrah laka sadrak, Alam nashrah laka sadrak. The meaning here is, have we not opened your breast for you? This is affirmation, meaning قَدْ شَرَحْنَا لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, indeed we have opened your breast for you. Then here, back to the same verse now, didn't I tell you that I know the unseen in the heavens and the earth? And what is unseen in the heavens and the earth is of two types: what is unseen in the heavens and the earth is of two types. First type is relative. In Arabic it is called nisbi. First type is relative, and the other is general. The other is general. As to the relative, this means that it is not known to some and known to others. This is why it is called relative. The other, the general, is that which is not known, absolutely not known to anyone from the creation. This is the unseen, and this classification will help you a lot. So had I not tell you, can we have the verse please? Did I not tell you that I know of the unseen in the heavens and the earth, and I know what you reveal and what you have been concealing? The points of benefits. First of all, affirming the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is saying, Ya Adam, O Adam. This is a speech, this is saying, and it is with a heard voice. This is with a heard voice and letters, because Adam heard it and understood it and then conveyed that to the angels. And this is the creed of Ahlul Sunnah, meaning that Allah speaks with a heard voice and successive letters, heard by the one who is addressed and understood by him. And in this there is a response to those from the deviant sects who claim that the speech of Allah is only the meaning established with Allah within himself. Such a claim nullifies the reality of speech. And from the points of benefits, is that Adam alayhi salam was excelled in that which Allah taught him regarding these names, and that Adam, peace be upon him, submitted and obeyed right away, because Allah told him, tell the angels, and he did. And from the points of benefits is the favor of Allah upon the angels in making them know and in letting them know that Allah himself encompasses everything. And it is from the favor of Allah upon the slave is to make the truth clear to him in ways which will make him comfortable. And if Allah willed, he would have kept the truth. But it is Allah's favor to make it known. And this entails something, that man should be grateful to Allah and thankful for the matters which Allah teaches him from the truth, which may be not known to others. And from the benefits is the permissibility to make the one addressed a test to that which he cannot rebel or repel. The permissibility to make the one who is addressed a test to that which he cannot repel. This is derived from the saying, Alam aqul lakum, didn't I tell you that I know the unseen of the heavens and the earth? So they cannot repel that. And we take this benefit from this, the permissibility to make the one addressed attest to that which he cannot repel. And fourth point or fifth point is making the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understood to us, in the sense that it is related to what is witnessed and what is unseen. And from the points of benefit is that the angels are qualified with wills, and that these wills, some of its actions may be manifested and others may be concealed. Why we say this? Because Allah said regarding them, وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ, and I know what you make apparent and what you conceal and what you are concealing. And from the benefits is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the hearts, whether manifested or concealed. If someone comes and say now the question, what is the evidence that the angels have hearts? The answer is in Surah Saba. In Surah Saba, verse 23, and Saba is 34, so this will be 34:23, when Allah said, حَتَّى إِذَا فُزِّعَ عَنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ قَالُوا مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا الْحَقُّ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. Intercession with him profits not, except for him whom he permits, until when fear is banished from their, the angels' hearts, they, the angels, say, what is it that your Lord has said? They say the truth, and he is the most high, the most great. Then we go to the next verse, please. Verse 34, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And remember when we said to the angels, prostrate yourself before Adam. And they prostrated except Iblis, Satan. He refused and was proud and was one of the disbelievers, the disobedient to Allah. Allah is saying here, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا, and when we said, meaning, and remember when we said to the angels. And this comes abundant in the Quran, this format. And remember when. When we said, this we, Allah is referring to himself by saying we. This pronoun is in the plural pronoun. And this manner of expression is for magnification, not for enumeration. Al-Malaika, now we know about them, and the command came, Sjudu li Adam, prostrate to Adam. And prostration means the prostration on the earth by putting the forehead on the earth out of submission and tranquility and humility. And it doesn't mean bowing here. It does not mean bowing. It does not mean ruku'. It does not mean bowing. Because Allah distinguished between bowing and between prostration, as in His saying in Surah Al-Fajr 48:29, تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا. You see them bowing and falling down prostrate. Allah distinguished between the two. Also like in Surah Al-Hajj in 22:77, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اركعوا واسجدوا. Oh, who you believe, bow and prostrate. So he distinguished between the two. So they prostrated without delay. Except Iblis, and he is Shaitan. His name Iblis. Because he is named Iblis, because he ablasa min rahmatillah, meaning ablasa from the mercy of Allah. Ablasa from the mercy of Allah, and ablasa means he despaired, complete despairing. Ablasa, so he was called Iblis. So he despaired from the mercy of Allah. Aba, except Iblis, Shaitan, Satan, disobeyed, rejected, and he refused and was proud and was one of the disbelievers. Now you may say, was one of the believers, kana, was this Arabic term. This Arabic verb is called kana. Kana, was. And this grammatically is in the past tense. And the past tells of something in the past. So that's why some went with the opinion that Iblis, Satan, he was in the knowledge of Allah a disbeliever, because they said kana is for the past tense. However, there is a better understanding than this. We say kana sometimes is used, without reference to time, deprived of quote unquote time, and it is used to affirm, please let's write this word by word. It is used to affirm the qualities. It is used to affirm the qualities of what is being described by it. It is used to affirm the qualities of what is being described by it. To affirm exactly the qualities of what is being described by it. Like, for example, let's take an example. This is very important and a very good benefit. 4:96. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah, if we're going to take it as the term was used earlier, and Allah was of forgiving, most merciful. This does not go. Here it is used to affirm the quality of what is being described, and therefore Allah is ever of forgiving, most merciful. So therefore, there is no time related to that. To take a posting, if I have a, okay. Also, like also in chapter 4, verse 158. And Allah, wa kana Allahu azizan hakima. And Allah is ever mighty and all wise. You see, and there is many like this in the Quran. So it doesn't mean that this was in the past. Allah was all powerful, kana was, and was all wise, kana all wise. No, this is ever, meaning continuously. So in this case, the term kana is used without timing limitation, and it is intended to affirm the qualities of what is being described by it. From the benefits of this verse are, number one, making it clear the excellence of Adam over the angels. Making clear the excellence of Adam over the angels. Why? Because Allah ordered the angels to prostrate to Adam out of magnification. Because Allah ordered the angels to prostrate to Adam out of magnification. Now, this is very important. How could Allah order someone to prostrate to someone? And we know that prostration is worship. Here it must be made clear that this prostration is not a prostration of worship. Because, first, it is a prostration of magnification. Second, if Allah commands the prostration to other than Him, if it is His command, look at this condition. If it is Allah's command, then it becomes worship. Worship to whom? Worship to Allah, but not to the one to whom the prostration is performed. Let us repeat. That the prostration to other than Allah, if it is commanded by Allah, then it is worship, because Allah decrees whatever He wishes. And that's why when the devil, Satan, refused, he was from the disbelievers. So secondly, their prostration to Adam is not worshipping Adam. Their prostration to Adam is magnification of Adam. And Allah made it clear that, therefore, we deduce from this, that the prohibited thing, the forbidden thing, if Allah commands it, then it becomes worship. Then it becomes worship. Do we have evidence for this? Do we have evidence for this? Yes, we do. If it is the command of Allah, then it is obedience. Take for example, killing one soul, which Allah forbade unjustly, is from the major sins. But if it is done in compliance with the command of Allah, it becomes obedience. Where is the evidence for this? Take for example the story of Abraham, peace be upon him. Allah commanded him to kill his son, and killing is from the major sins, there is no doubt. Killing unjustly is from the major sins. However, the compliance of Abraham to the command of Allah, and which was a test and a trial, is from the highest ranks for Ibrahim. Allah tested him with this trial, with this great trial. And Allah knew that Ibrahim is going to execute the command. And from this, therefore, a thing could be kufr, disbelief, or disobedience. But if Allah orders it due to His wisdom, then it becomes an act of obedience to Allah. Is this matter clear? Okay. So the angels prostrated, they obeyed the command of Allah, except Satan. Refused. And became proud. So he combined two things. Refusal and haughtiness, which indicates that his refusal was not for any excuse or to some hindrance which he may be excused for. Rather, it is because of this false pride he had. And Allah made that clear in other verses, like for example in chapter 7 verse 12. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. Listen to the argument of Satan. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. Allah said, what prevented you, O Satan, O Iblis, that you did not prostrate when I commanded you? Iblis, Satan said, I am better than him, Adam. Look at this. You created me from fire, so I am stronger and everything. And him you created from clay. And then out of this haughtiness and this disdainfulness, we read in chapter 17 also, the same argument made by him, 1761. أَأَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طِينَ أَأَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طِينَ. And remember when we said to the angels prostrate unto Adam, they prostrated except Iblis, Satan. He said, shall I prostrate to one whom you created from clay? Look at this. Shall I prostrate to one whom you created from clay? Refusal based on false pride. So except Iblis. The scholars differed here to this exception. Is this a linked exception, or it is a discontinued exception? Is it a linked exception, or it is a discontinuous, separated? Some of them said that this exception is related, is linked. And they said that what is excluded is from the same kind of what is executed from. I will repeat. What is being excluded is from the same kind of what is executed from. Meaning that the basis for this is that whatever is excluded is to be from the same kind of the thing it is excluded from. The other opinion is, and this had an impact in the understanding of the verse, so please follow up. And some of them said that the exclusion, except Iblis, is discontinuous, meaning whatever is excluded is not from the same type of what is excluded from. And they refer to the following verse. They base it on the following verse in Al-Kahf 18:50. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. And remember when we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam. So they prostrated except Satan. Look at this now. He was one of the jinns. He was one of the jinns. He disobeyed the command of his Lord. And this is the preponderating opinion. This is the preponderating opinion. But there is a problem here. How could it be here that Iblis, Satan, is not from the angels, yet the address in the statement covers him, yet the address in the statement of Allah, prostrate to Adam, and this was addressed to the angels? So how could it be for us to say that he is not from the angels, yet the address in the statement covers him, because Allah is saying to the angels, prostrate yourself before Adam? The answer to this, it is correct that he is included in the address because he was from amongst them, meaning he was with them, doing like them, worshipping like they did. However, he was overtaken by his wickedness. His wickedness took hold of him, such that when he was commanded to prostrate, he saw himself above the rank of Adam. And that the one who is above cannot magnify the one who is in lowliness. So his self-pride carried him, and his disguise to Adam made him to disobey Allah, and in this case, this problem is resolved. Is this clear now? Is this clear now, inshallah? Is this matter clear? Okay, mashallah. I think this is very important. This really helps a lot in understanding all the verses related to this incident. From the benefits of this verse is that rulings are made on the apparent. Rulings are made on the apparent. Yes, he was with them. Rulings are made on the apparent, so that anyone who pretends to act, meaning, let's go, rulings are made on the apparent, and anyone who pretends to carry on the actions of certain people, then he is from them on the apparent. He is from them on the apparent. And that's why the address of Allah to the angels was made, although Satan was caught with them, but not of their kind. but not of their kind. But since he was doing what they were doing, the address, he was covered by the address. And this was the treatment of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, concerning those who accepted Islam on their parent. He treated them as Muslims, and that's why he didn't kill the hypocrites, yet they were from the disbelievers. But he treated them on the apparent. He treated them on their apparent condition as Muslims. And from the benefits. Is this matter also clear, inshallah? Is this matter also clear? Tayyib, alhamdulillah. And from the benefits of this verse is that for the believers to be aware and cautious from wicked concealment, to be aware and conscious from wicked concealment, because Satan was overtaken by his wicked concealment until that led him to disdainfulness and refusal, so he returned to his origin. And therefore, it is incumbent upon the believer to free himself from this quality which is in the heart, and that he should polish his heart continuously so that he doesn't get ruined. And let us listen here to the following hadith to this effect, to the following story at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is hadith number 16. Well, let me give you the hadith number. It is in Sahih al-Bukhari, and this will be volume 5 and narration number 518. Let us listen all together so that we benefit from this. It is narrated from the companion of the Prophet, Sahel bin Sa'd, may Allah be pleased with him, that during one of the expeditions, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah be pleased with him, may Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be upon him, encountered the pagans. And the two armies fought. And then each of them returned to their army camps. Amongst the army of the Muslims, there was a man who would follow every single isolated pagan and strike him with the sword. It was said, O Allah's Messenger, none has fought so satisfactorily as so and so, namely that brave Muslim. That's it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is from the dwellers of the hellfire. He is from the dwellers of the hellfire. I mean, this was very astonishing. I mean, the companions saw him fighting bravely, but the Prophet said he is from the dwellers of the hellfire. The people said, who amongst us will be of the dwellers of paradise if this man is from the dwellers of hellfire? Then a man from amongst the people said, I will follow him and accompany him in his fast and slow movements. The brave man got wounded, and wanting to die at once, the brave man got wounded and wanted to die at once, he put the handle of his sword
on the ground, and its tip in between his breasts, and then threw himself over it, committing suicide. Then the man who had watched the deceased returned to the Prophet and said, I testify that you are the Messenger of Allah. I testify that you are the Messenger of Allah. The Prophet said, what is this? The man told him the whole story. The Prophet said, a man, look at this, a man may do what may seem to the people as the deeds of the dwellers of paradise, but he is of the dwellers of hellfire. And a man may do what may seem to the people, look and underline this, what may seem to the people as the deeds of the dwellers of the hellfire, but he is from the dwellers of paradise. This proves that there was something in the heart of this so-called brave man, some kind of wickedness that led him to commit suicide. And therefore, from this also we deduce many, many important things, that you don't say that a particular person is a martyr in person, because you don't know of the last nanoseconds what is going in his heart. So it is the duty of every believer to check his heart in every time and purify it, lest his end be bad one. From the benefits of this verse is that Iblis Satan was qualified with all the blameworthy attributes: disdainfulness to comply, disdainfulness against the truth, and also against the creatures, and disbelief. You know, he said, I am better than him. So he was on this false pride and belittled others. And this disdainfulness is refusing the truth and belittling others. Tayyib, Jazakallah khair. Tayyib. From the benefits is that prostrating to other than Allah, if it is from the command of Allah, then this is worship, and we covered that. But we want to deduce another benefit from this. Some of the scholars said it is because Satan disobeyed, he was an unbeliever. So they deduce from this that the one who abandons the prayer in Islam becomes a disbeliever. Why? They based it on the following argument. They said, if Iblis Satan turned disbeliever by abandoning one prostration which he was commanded, then what about someone who abandons the prayers, the complete prayers? This deduction, if it is upright, then it is so. And if it is not, then there are other texts from the book and from the sunnah and from the sayings of the companions that prove that the one who abandons the salah becomes a disbeliever. This brings the end of verse 34, Then comes 35. وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين. Let's have the verse. And when we said, O Adam, dwell you and your wife in paradise, and eat both of you freely with pleasure and delight of things therein, as wherever you will, but come not near this tree, or you both will be of the wrongdoers. Let us not talk about this verse now, the explanation. And we said, reference to Allah. أسكن أنت وزوجك أو آدم dwell you and your wife. And his wife is Eve. His wife is Eve. And this is affirmed in Sahih al-Bukhari and others from the Sunnah. And paradise means, the meaning of paradise, al-Jannah, is the garden with abundant trees. And it is called Jannah because it is shielded with its trees abundantly. Now, this paradise mentioned in this verse, is it the everlasting abode or is it another one other than the everlasting abode? The answer: the what's apparent from the Quran and from the Sunnah is it refers to the everlasting abode and nothing else. Now, if someone asks the question, how could this be the correct saying, yet we know that anyone who enters the everlasting abode does not come out of it? And here Adam and Eve were taken out from it. So how could this be? The answer: the one who enters the everlasting abode does not come out of it, but this is after the resurrection. After the resurrection. After the resurrection. Allah said, let's have the verse now again, please. Dwell you and your wife and eat. And both eat both of you freely with pleasure. Any place therein. And also at any time. But don't come near this tree. We don't know of the type of this tree, so it remains like that, this tree. We don't know what type it is. Or both will you be from the wrongdoers, because you would disobey the command. Point of benefits, that Adam has a wife, and that the wife's name is Eve. And she is created from Adam, from the rib of Adam. That from this is showing the ability of Allah, where He created Eve from the rib, from a father without a mother. And thus we know that man, with respect to his creation, is four types. man with respect to his creation is of four types. Number one, a group created without a father and mother. Without a father and mother, like Adam. Allah created him from turab, from dust, from dirt. And then he said to him, be, and he was. This is the first one. Another group from the creation is from a father and without a mother. And this is Eve, created from the rib of Adam. And the third type, created from a mother without a father. From a mother without a father. And this is Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, son of Mary. Peace be upon him. And the fourth type, those created from a father and a mother. And they are the rest of creation. They are the rest of mankind. They are the rest of mankind. And nevertheless, Allah creates whatever He wishes. Yet Allah creates whatever He wishes. Listen to this also, 42, 49, 50. Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. He bestows female offspring upon whom He wills, and bestows male offspring upon whom He wills, or He bestows both males and females, and He renders barren whom He wills. Verily He is the All-Knower and is able to do all things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in these verses, we know that mankind are four types in regard to birth and its absence. From them, those whom Allah bestows males only upon them, gives them birth, and birth gives them males, no females. The other, those whom Allah gives them females, okay, I repeat, the first time, males without females. Allah gives to whom He wishes, males without females, through birth. Second, females without males. Females without males. And thirdly, both. Both, males and females. Thirdly, males and females. And fourthly, those whom Allah does not give them back, all in accordance with His wisdom and justice. From the benefits of this verse is that Allah speaks again here. Allah is saying, O Adam. And from the benefits is that the favor of Allah upon Adam and Eve, making them dwellers of paradise. And from the benefits, that marriage is an old way, an old sunnah of the past, meaning from the time Allah created Adam, and it continued in his offspring with the messengers and the prophets and others. As Allah said in 13:38, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. And indeed we sent messengers before you, O Muhammad, and made for them wives and offspring. And it was not for a messenger to bring a sign except by Allah's leave. For each and every matter there is a decree from Allah. If one says, Eve, his wife, the daughter of who? The answer is she was created from his rib. If someone says, then she is his daughter, meaning Adam's daughter. So how he gets married to his daughter? The answer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qualified with the perfect wisdom in his decrees. In the same manner he permitted for the brother to get married to his sister from the children of Adam, the early ones, then he permitted Adam to marry Eve, created from his rib. From the benefits is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may test his slaves, forbidding them from something which they like. Allah said in this regard to Adam and Eve, this is the evidence, and don't come close to this tree, indicating that had it not been for their attachment to that tree, tilting towards that, then there would have been no need to forbid them from coming or approaching it. And from the benefits is that forbiddance to approach something could mean forbidding to act accordingly. It would mean forbidding to do this thing. When the forbiddance is not to approach, it could mean forbidding from doing it. Well, how could we deduce this? This is deducted from the statement, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ, and don't come close to this tree. What's intended here, don't eat from it. What's forbidden, don't eat from it. But since coming close, approaching it may lead to eating from it, and that's why the prohibition came in that format. And in this context, we understand the following verse, 17:32. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And come not near to unlawful sexual intercourse. Look at this. Come not near to the lawful sexual intercourse. Because this unlawful sexual intercourse, oneself may be tilted and inclined to sex, but since it is unlawful, it came in this form and come not near. And this in order to prevent the person from coming in to use all the means, preventing him from approaching all the means that may lead to unlawful sexual intercourse and thus committing it. So when there is a need to protect those forbidden things, the approach is prohibited. Like for example also in the same chapter 17:34, concerning the property and wealth of the orphan, the wealth of the orphan. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And come not near, look at this again, to the orphan's property except to improve it, until he attains the age of full strength and fulfill every covenant. Verily the covenant will be questioned about. give him his rights, don't take anything of his wealth. From the benefits is that sometimes man may choose the lesser in good because of his desire. He may choose the lesser of good because of his desire. Where is the, how did we deduce this? It is deduced from Adam and Eve. They were permitted to eat and enjoy paradise from whatever they wanted to, yet they were prevented from this tree, from one single thing, yet despite that they went for it. So they compromised all the good things for the lesser one. And from the benefits is the affirmation of causes. The affirmation of causes. How is this deducted? The affirmation of causes. And don't approach or come near to this tree lest you be from the wrongdoers. So don't let this cause lead you to such and such, and therefore in this there is the affirmation of causes, and we will speak about that in more details also in the next verse. And from the benefits, and this is the last one for this verse, that the disobedience of Allah is a transgression and injustice to one's own self. Let's go for the next verse now, inshallah. Verse 36. It's important to follow up as to what happens now after they disobeyed Allah. And the Satan succeeded in being the cause for their exit from paradise. Verse 36. فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. Verse 36. Then Shaitan, Satan, made them slip therefrom, meaning the paradise, and got them out from that in which they were. We said, Allah said, get you down all. With enmity between yourselves on earth will be a dwelling place for you and an enjoyment for a time. So Satan, Shaitan, and it is derived from the Arabic Shata, which means become angry, and or it is derived from the Arabic Shatan, which means became distant. And the last one, latter deduction, is the correct one, or more correct rather, because there is no doubt that Satan, Shaitan, is far removed from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, far away. And apparently he is the same Satan who refused to prostrate to Adam and whispered to both Adam and Eve in order to disobey Allah, just as he disobeyed Allah when he refused to prostrate. So he slipped them away from it, from the paradise, from this great bliss, and they were in the best dwellings. Then Allah said to both, and this ihbitu, Allah said, get you down all. This pronoun is plural, and what is intended here, the three, Adam, Eve, and Satan. That's why Allah said that Satan is included in all, on earth will be dwelling place for you, and what? And with enmity between yourselves. And this is the enmity between Adam and Satan. And that you will be on earth for a dwelling place for you and an enjoyment for time. From the benefits of this verse, that cautioning from slipping away due to the whispers of the devil, and from the benefits, is that Satan whispers to the children of Adam, as he did sway their father. And then we remember when he told Adam and Eve, I am you, a sincere advisor. And then told Adam, shall I tell you of this everlasting tree and a kingdom which will not perish? All of these his whispers. So now he can come to anyone whispering to him, making the sin little in our eyes. And if it is big in our eyes or major, and he fails to make it little, then what to do? He will tell you, it's okay, do it, and you will repent from it, making it easy for us to fall in the trap. So let us beware of our enemy. And from the benefits is that Satan is an enemy to man, because Allah said enmity between you, and Allah made it very clear in verse 35, in chapter 35 verse 6, إن الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوه عدوا. Verily Shaitan, Satan, is an enemy of you, so take him as enemy, meaning caution, be careful. And from the benefits, surely Satan is an enemy to you, so treat him as an enemy. He only invites his followers, that they may become the dwellers of the blazing fire. This is his goal, to lead mankind to the fire of hell by worshipping other than Allah, by committing sins. And from the benefits is that paradise is in a high place, because Allah said, come down, and coming down cannot be except from above to low. And from the benefits is that for the children of Adam, for us, there can be no dwelling except on earth. Why? Let us have this verse, this statement of the verse, Sister Muhammad, please, and look at it carefully. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. And you shall have there on earth a dwelling place. Let's have that verse, statement at the end of the verse, please. Okay, on earth will be a dwelling place for you and an enjoyment for a time, meaning limited. And the supporting evidence for this is in the Quran again in 7:25. فيها تحيون وفيها تموتون ومنها تخرجون. Therein you shall live, meaning on earth, and therein you shall die, and from it you shall be brought out, resurrected. And accordingly we know that the attempts of the disbelievers to live in other than the earth, either on certain planets or in some ships, is a hopeless attempt, because it's inevitable that their dwelling place will be on earth. Even if they reach, they cannot dwell, because nothing other than the earth is made to be a dwelling and resting place. And from it, and on it we will live, and on it we will die, and from it we will be resurrected. First benefit, additional benefit, is adding the action to its causer. Adding the action to its causer. Adjoining the action to its causer. To the one who causes it. Where is this is deducted from? This is deducted from the same verse. The same verse. Can we have the verse inshallah again? فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ. Then the Satan made them slip there from paradise and got them out from that in which they were. So, adjoining the action to the one who causes it, and that the second benefit related to this is that causes have effects. Causes have effects. Because Allah said, and got them out from that in which they were. Allah made them get out. Allah commanded them to get down. However, because for their exit is shaitan, the devil. And thus, Allah related their exit to him, because he was the cause. And there is no doubt that causes have effects. However, their effects, the occurrence of their effects is by the will of Allah. Is by the will of Allah. Because he is the one who made the power of influence dwell in the causes. People have differed concerning this matter into two extremes and a middle position. People have differed regarding this matter of causes and their effects into two extremes and one in the middle. At one end, at one side, the first group exaggerated in the causes. Exaggeration in the causes. Rendering them effective on their own. Rendering them effective on their own. The other type, the other end, the negligent ones, who negated the effects. And they said that if the paper is thrown in the fire, then it is burned upon its throwing in the fire, not by the fire. This is the negligent people. Or that the bottle, the glass bottle, broke upon touching the stone, not by the stone. But we say that the bottle broke by the stone. We say that the paper burnt was burnt by the fire, because Allah made the fire burning. And that's why if Allah wishes for delaying the effect, then he is capable to do so. And in the story of Ibrahim, of Abraham, when he was thrown in the fire, this magnificent fire, whose people who denied him set it ablaze to burn him, Allah ordered the fire in 21:69, كوني بردا وسلاما على إبراهيم, be cool and secure and peace on Ibrahim. So Allah took its effect away and he wasn't burned by it. All fire be you, coolness and safety for Ibrahim. And this is evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the causes what makes them effective. And from the benefits of this verse is that Adam and Eve were punished by losing paradise, exiting paradise, because of one single disobedience. Then what about those who have plenty of disobedience, acts or sins which are only known to Allah? Aren't they thinking that they may be subject to Allah's punishment? And shouldn't they repent to Allah? And the greatest sin is associating partners with Allah in worship. Shouldn't then people repent from that? It is to be known, however, that in Islam, sins except for setting up partners with Allah, sins fall under the will of Allah. If He wishes to punish and if He wishes to forgive, He will forgive. As Allah said in 4:48, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Verily Allah forgives not the partners should be set up with Him in worship, but He forgives except that anything else to whom He pleases. And whoever sets up partners with Allah in worship, he has indeed invented a tremendous sin. From the benefits of this verse is affirming the enmity between man and Satan, Adam and his offspring. And from this there is a subdivision that man should be careful from the plot of the devil and not just surrendering to him, because he's an enemy. And an enemy to man will carry him only to that which is worse. And that's why Allah says in admonishing us in 24, in chapter An-Nur 24 verse 21, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعَ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. O you who believe, follow not the footsteps of Satan. Let's have them one by one, please. And whoever follows the footsteps of Satan, then verily he commands to commit indecency, illegal sexual intercourse, and disbelief and polytheism, meaning to do evil and wicked deeds, to speak or to do what is forbidden. And had it not been for the grace of Allah and His mercy on you, not one of you would ever have been pure from sins. But Allah purifies and guides to Islam whom He wills, and Allah is all hearer, all knower. From the benefits of this verse, that this dwelling place for us, which is the earth, it will not last. It will come to an end. Because Allah said, for an appointed term in this verse. And the thing which does not last, then it is very quickly finishing. It ends up so fast. Please remember this. The thing which does not last, ends up so fast. Because this is which is postponed is wrapped up in hours, rather in minutes, rather in moments, and there is no moment that passes away will return to us. That's why it is said, every day that passes upon the children of Adam, then it distances him away from this life and brings him closer to the hereafter. And therefore we must be ready and take the opportunity. This is the people who ponder, take the opportunity in doing that which brings us closer to Allah, the most mighty and most magnificent. We stop here and we ask Allah the Most High to show us the truth and to make us follow it and to keep us away from all that which displeases Him. And to Him belongs all the praise. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.